Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
This is the Freddie and Harry Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Along with Chad Brown, I'm Gabe Neitzel. It's Freddie and Harry, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Continuing to take your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In honor of, I guess, Joe Buck's wife, Michelle, who had to undergo surgery after Joe accidentally drove a golf ball into her ankle. What are the weirdest injuries you've ever had or witnessed in person? Chad sharing a story earlier that revolved around Derek Mays, a former NFL wide receiver. Chad, just quickly, the highlights of that story.
Derek had his finger peeled back like the skin of a banana from a pre-game pass from Brock Huard. But the funniest part of the story, again, is the National Geographic article that I was reading was talking about you take on the spirit of an animal when you eat that animal's flesh. So the night before at dinner, Ricky Waters ordered the venison. He ran like a deer the next day. I ordered the buffalo. I played linebacker like a buffalo. I had a sack. I had an interception. I led the team in tackles. And Derek, unfortunately, ordered the chicken for dinner. And then the next day, the results were very chicken-like.
Just tough for D-Maze in that situation. What is the weirdest injury you've ever had or witnessed in person? Let's go out to that Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. Scott in Illinois, you're on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, so I worked at a hospital, so there's a lot of weird ones I can't share on the radio. It's too graphic. When I was in kindergarten, my mom came to pick me up from school, and my sister was there. And they came over to my mom because they got a phone call saying that my grandfather was in the hospital, and they thought it was a heart attack. We get to the hospital. There's no heart attack. His index finger is all, like, chewed off. The top of it was, like, cut off. Blood. He liked to drink every afternoon, and he was mowing the lawn. He couldn't get the lawnmower to stop, so he thought it would be a bright idea to put his finger in the blade. And he was so nonchalant about it, just like, you know, showing everyone the street, like nothing ever happened.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
All right.
I can't get this thing to stop. So, yeah, let's use my hand to stop the sharp blades from moving.
Have you ever been tempted in those kind of circumstances with a lawnmower blade or even a ceiling fan? Because I've got something weird in my brain that always wants to do that. I don't do it, but there's something in my brain that says, just give it a shot. See what'll happen.
I mean, the ceiling fan, the ceiling fan still would not end well for you, but it's better than the sharp blades that are cutting the grass that are moving quickly. No, I have never thought, what would happen if I put my hand in the lawnmower? That's not something that ever crossed my mind personally, Chad. So I think that might just be a you thing of, hey, what would happen if I did this with my hand? 888-SAY.
I'm not alone.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike in Texas, you're up next. Mike, what's the weirdest injury you've ever had or witnessed in person?
First and foremost, thanks for taking my call. Freddie, Harry, God, you guys are the best thing to drive home to every day. I never laughed so hard in my entire life. Hopefully this will make y'all laugh. I have a really special talent. I tear my ACL every February, no matter what I'm doing, like it's clockwork.
Like every February, like how many times have you torn it?
For the past like 4 or 5 years, so much so that I've ruptured my bursa sac so many times that there's two floating ball remnants that go from the outside of my knee to the inside of my knee and get lodged up underneath the fibula and tibia bone and behind the kneecap sometimes. I'm addicted to basketball, man. That's what I've been doing my whole life. It brings me peace of mind and everything. So it's kind of my sanctuary.
Mike, you got to get off that narcotic, Mike.
Yeah,
I know you're addicted to it, man. Come on, this is
Mike, I know. It brings you peace of mind.
The game is not leveling you back.
Yeah. It brings you peace of mind. You need peace of me, man.
And my wife don't love the game at all because I come crawling in about every February after a pickup sesh or a game or something, dragging my bum leg behind me, and I just get the heavy sigh and eye roll, which I'm sure every husband in the world let's get a shout out for the husbands. We know that heavy sigh and eye roll, don't we, fellas?
We do. We do.
Has it every time been basketball?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. I just didn't know if it just ruptured, you know, like you fell off a ladder one time. No, every time. So, every single time it's playing hoops. Different knees or the same knee every time?
The same knee every time. The second time I did it, so the first time I did it, got off, you know, did some rehab. I've never had surgery on it. I don't care. And I should. I know. Don't. Trust me. My wife lectures me. But really, the second time I did it, it had been about a year. I was feeling good. I had just retired as an agent from Farmers Insurance. So I was feeling great. Had a nice little chunk of change in my pocket. Was headed on to my next venture. I was living in Colorado at the time. And so my days while I was retired for about a couple weeks was filled with steak for breakfast, steak for lunch, whiskey, a little bit of whiskey for lunch, you know, maybe every now and then a little sip of the whiskey for the breakfast too, you know. I was having a time, man. And instead of walking through my dang gate like I should have, I decided I was feeling so good, I'm just going to hop my fence real fast and cut this water faucet on the outside of my house off. Went to hop the fence, toe caught the fence, twisted it up, turned it up, and fast forward to me hobbling up the side of my stairs on my townhome in Colorado, basically holding back tears with my wife doing the heavy sigh and eye roll like she always does.
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we prefer Progressive here on ESPN Radio, but what's the closest that you got to actually getting surgery? Oh, he's gone. I just want to know, like, after the third time, you go, oh, maybe I should actually get this surgically repaired.
I wonder what it's like for Mike around, say, February 26th, 27th. And he hadn't tore his ACL yet. He's like, well, it's about that time.
Can you imagine this year?
On the 28th.
Can you imagine this year if it happened on the 29th? Like, you think you get clear, but then you've got leap day in there? End up doing it on the 29th?
It's like Final Destination.
But only during the month of February.
Mike's quite the character.
Oh,
the multiple ACL tears, the no surgery, the whiskey for breakfast. Yeah, he's out there living large.
He's living
in ways that I'm not
fullest.
Comfortable with. I'm wild, but that dude's really wild.
Shannon, what about you? What's the weirdest injury you've ever had or witnessed in person?
Well, I've had a couple. I will share actually a non-sports injury that happened to me. So this is back in high school. I was my group of friends and I were really silly. Anywho, we went to see this movie called Romeo Must Die with Aaliyah and Jet Li.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
So we got the bright idea. There was one scene where he picks her up, or no, he gets picked up or whatever. No, he picks her up and she like kind of walks on a wall, so to speak, right?
Yeah,
so
my
friend Reggie and I thought it was a good idea. So let's try that. So he picks me up. I act like I have my feet on the wall or whatever. He puts me down. He doesn't slam me down, but he puts me down. So when he puts me down, I dislocated my left kneecap, and my kneecap was on the outside of my knee. Mm. So, yeah, senior in high school, I'm walking around with a cast from my hip to my ankle.
How long is the recovery on that one?
I don't know. I blacked out. That's a dark time of my life, Chad. Respect my wishes. I try not to.
Okay, respect your wishes.
It was a tough time because I'm in high school, so I'm like, all right, I'm moving around too slow with the crutches.
Right.
Somebody had the bright idea, why don't you try Kane? That didn't work because all my friends were joking me, calling me Big Daddy Kane.
Okay, of course.
And then they were calling me Big Limpin', and it was.
I mean, in fairness, that's a good one. Like, you got to respect the pop there.
Yeah, Big Limpin' is classic. That's good. That's real strong.
That's fantastic.
Hey, No. Dev, what about you? I'm not getting off. You're not getting off the scot-free, Dev. What about you?
I mean, nothing's weird for me. I tore my ACL playing basketball in college. But unlike our other caller, I got the surgery and rehabbed it. And I continue to play basketball.
Strong? Yeah, it feels strong, feels
yeah.
good.
Yeah, it feels fine. I continue to play basketball, and you know, I make sure that, you know, I remember when I was rehabbing it, though, similar to who we just had. It was Mike, right? Mm-hmm. Similar to Mike, I was in the first day of rehab for my ACL, and there was this kid, probably about 13, 14 years old, and he was having ACL, you know, rehab as well. I said, oh, you tore your ACL. He's like, yeah, it's my third time. I said, your third time? What happened? He goes, snowboarding. Every time, snowboarding. I'm like, oh, are you going to go back out there again? He goes, you're damn right I am.
I love it.
You got me just chasing the thrill, just chasing that rush. Yeah. All right, let's do one more. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jesse in Wyoming. Jesse, you're up next. What is the weirdest injury you've had or witnessed in person?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey so I was, me and my son, this was a couple years ago, we were umpiring 9U competitive baseball down in Colorado. And this was like a high-up division 9U. Like, these kids threw hard. It was 9U, like, majors. So anyways, I was behind the plate. Pitcher threw the ball. Ball hit the plate, went right in between the catcher's legs, and hit me right in the cup. I had a cup on.
Okay.
And, you know, being an being an umpire, you know, and that type of thing happens, you kind of want to tough it out and not let everyone see you. But I took like two or three steps, and I dropped. It hurt so bad. yeah. I don't know if you guys ever heard of like a game changer or whatever, but
yeah.
It's like parents can kind of video.
Yep.
Record the baseball game. So, mm-hmm. so family members that aren't at the game can see it. And I could just see myself on their cameras, just, you know, taking those two or three steps and then just dropping. You know, it was almost like I got shot by someone from the stands. It hurt so bad.
And, the visual of the two and three steps, I think, just adds to the comedy for me.
Two, blam.
And then he just goes down. All right, one more. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Joe Buck's wife, Michelle, had to undergo surgery after he accidentally drove a ball into her ankle. So what is the weirdest injury you've ever had or witnessed in person? We go to Dave in Tampa. Dave, you're on Freddie and Harry with Gabe Neitzel and Chad Brown in for the boys today.
Hey, guys. Okay, I'll give you what happened first, and I'll tell you the story of how it happened. Okay, I have a cadaver bone in my left ring finger. I have somebody else's dead bone that's like the second bone inside your finger. And I got that from flag football, of all things. College, 92, playing flag football, playing defense. And the person that I was pulling their flag did everything that they could possibly do that's wrong in flag football. First, he had belt loops in his on his shorts. Then he took the strap that holds the flags and put them inside the belt loops. Then he tied the belt. Then he tied it as a belt. On top of that, he was wearing golf cleats. So when I dove to pull his flag, my finger got stuck between his shorts and the flag belt, twisted, snapped my finger in half. Clean. When I hit the ground, as he was pivoting, the golf spikes then hit the same finger, and then he pivoted on that finger.
I'm assuming these are the metal golf spikes. Am I correct in my assumption, Dave?
You are correct in that assumption.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you know what? I can see how that would lead to, you know, a surgery in which they used a, you know, somebody else's bone from their finger and now is in Dave's finger.
Wow, that's horrific there. Oh, my goodness. Now, there's a reason why we don't wear cups in the NFL, because with all that movement, it's inevitable that one of the precious parts that the cup is designed to protect will then be outside of the cup.
Sure.
So then you get hit with the cup, and the cup will then act almost like a guillotine. So when people ask that question, I would have to explain to them, with all the movement, it's impossible to keep things tightly contained in there. And that's the last thing you want, is this plastic, you know, blade of some sort to separate you in that way. Let's put it like that.
Chad, can you explain, because I know a lot of NFL players have, speaking of the fingers, when you look at their fingers, they're all jacked up. They're right. Pointing in every direction. Explain why that is.
Because your finger just gets caught in something, whether it's a face mask, in a helmet, in a shoulder pad, in a jersey. Even if you've got like a regular grasp on someone's jersey and they're trying to break a tackle and they're pulling away from you, just the process of you trying to hold on to that jersey can be enough for that jersey to wrap around your finger and then twist your finger in a way. And then, you know, we're football players. We're idiots in some ways, because we go to the sideline, the trainer will pull it back into shape, and you go keep playing. And then it's, you know, it's week three. There's still 14 games left to play. So your finger never actually heals, and it heals in a really twisted, jagged way. So, yeah, if you're ever watching football players talk on television, they start using their hands. Look how gnarled their fingers are, twisted in different directions.
All right, well, I got to ask the follow-up question. Like, do you have one finger that's more mangled than any others?
Yes, my left ring finger. In fact, when I played, I had a wedding ring that had a clasp in it. Because I couldn't slide rings over my finger. I had to open it up like a keychain and lock it. And so I would have to carry it like a ballpoint pen with me because there was a little depression I could unlatch the clasp with to get this ring off my finger. Yeah, even now to this day, if I do too much with my left hand, that finger will swell. And I've got to – I don't have that clasping ring anymore, but I've got a various wedding rings, and I got a looser one I'll have to put on in those circumstances.
Lifetimes.
It's the price you pay, man.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's the price you pay for 15 years in the NFL that Chad Brown has played. I'm Gabe Nines, along with Chad Brown here on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app as we fill in for the guys. Speaking of football, Thursday night football, Bills, Dolphins, head-to-head AFC East matchup. And look, I know it's early in the season, Chad, and I know these early season games feel like preseason more than ever with teams not playing regulars during the actual preseason, but this still feels like a pretty big game because it is a divisional game against the two teams that went to the playoffs from this division a year ago. How big is this game for Tua and the Dolphins?
I believe it's massive for them. The Dolphins are still trying to escape the narrative of them being a front runner last year. They won plenty of games and scored plenty of points against lesser opponents, but once they faced anybody who had a winning record or was going to be a playoff team, they shrank in the moment. So they've got to prove something to the national audience. I think they've got to prove something to themselves. I'm sure there's still some folks in that locker room who have doubts about the mental toughness and the football character of that football team. Yeah, we can ride when the riding's high, but do we have it when it's tough? That will be, you know, I'll be looking for that evidence here tonight.
Yeah, that narrative is not going to go away. And I'm not expecting the Dolphins to necessarily have a winning record or a 500 record against, you know, good teams or playoff teams, teams with a record above 500. But you need to have more than one win against teams above 500. Yeah, I understand the reason you get to, you know, 12, 13, 14 wins in the NFL is by beating up on the teams below 500, winning those games you're supposed to win. But also, with the only win that you had against an above 500 team last year coming against the Cowboys, people were questioning the bona fides of the Dolphins heading into the postseason, and then they lost. If you want to be considered one of the best teams in the AFC, if you want to be considered the best team in your division, you're going to have to beat good teams. And for Miami, I think that starts tonight. On the other side, I think it's just as big of a game for Buffalo as they try to forge whatever their new identity is going to be for 2024. Because in the past, they've had a lot of really good defensive players like Micah Hyde, who was a defensive leader for them, who's no longer there. Stephon Diggs on the offensive side. They've really remade that wide receiver room. This is a big game for them to continue to forge and say, hey, I know the roster may look different, but our quarterback's the same. Our coach is the same. We're still kings in the AFC East, and if you want to win this division, you got to go through us.
But the Bills can win this game, and the narrative will still be the same for them. If they win this game and Josh Allen is the best part of their win, then the narrative is, well, you've got Josh Allen, and you don't have anybody else, and you found a way to win, but that's not sustainable. So the narrative stays the same. If the Dolphins lose this game, it just reinforces this feeling that so many folks have about them. And if they get the win, then they can start chipping away at the other side of that narrative that, no, we are not that team. We are a team that's going to be able to make a deep playoff run and beat difficult teams to play.
Josh Allen has thrown multiple touchdown passes against the Dolphins in all 13 games that he has faced Miami, including the playoffs. That is the longest streak by any quarterback against a single opponent, Chad, in NFL history. And look, I don't care how ugly or pretty the game is tonight. I'm expecting it to be pretty ugly. But anytime you're playing in these short weeks, especially against the divisional opponent, you're just going in, I would imagine, with the old Al Davis mantra. You just got to win, baby. You just got to find a way to come away with a win tonight.
Yeah, we don't just want to design complex game plans for Thursday night games. It's going to be the basics. This is what we do. This is what we've been working on since the very first day of minicamp. Our core structure offensively, our core structure defensively, we're going to lean upon that tonight because it's been such a short week, and we will hope that will be enough to get us a W and get out of here.
We certainly think that Tua, we certainly think that Josh Allen have things to prove in tonight's game. But who else has something to prove and has to show us something in week two at that quarterback position in the NFL? Chad Brown is going to give us his list of the QBs that have something to show us coming up this weekend. That's next on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like UNTUCKit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling. On the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout UNTUCKit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience, combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Along with Chad Brown, I'm Gabe Neitzel here on Freddie and Harry, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Tua, maybe he makes the list. Maybe Josh Allen makes the list. Who's really to say? Because it's time to rank this.
We're ranking everything.
You rank us?
What's better? Who's better?
Rank them.
It's time to find out. This is Rank This.
You ranked them?
With Freddie and Harry. Number five.
Rank this today, Chad Brown, the quarterbacks that have something to show us in week two.
Well, when I got this assignment earlier this morning, I was unsure of what direction to go because my first reaction was, well, let me find the five worst quarterbacks and got to find a way to play better. And then I thought, well, let me remove the rookies from that because that's just too easy. And then I thought, no, some of these guys, I don't expect them to step up. So I don't expect them to find another layer to their game. So I went with a list that's looking at this through a slightly different lens with almost every different selection here. So for number five, I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield. Not because he sucked last week, but because we are expected to believe that there's a Baker Mayfield resurgence going on. And he's playing the Detroit Lions this week. So, yeah, you want to show me that you are really back and you are actually the guy we thought you were coming out of college? Well, prove it this week against a very tough Detroit Lions defense.
Number four.
All right, number four for me is going to be Justin Fields. We talked about this earlier in the show. Justin Fields has a chance, I think, with this game to go 2-0 as a starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. With Russell Wilson and the calf injury, with the concerns about Russell Wilson's play in the preseason and the last 2 years in Denver, Justin Fields has an opportunity to solidify his hold on the Steelers' starting quarterback job. So, Justin Fields, if you step up, you can ensure that you become the starter for the rest of the season as long as you remain healthy, and you can essentially end Russell Wilson's time as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Next.
Number three.
All right, tonight's game, the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. We talked about this a little bit in the last segment, Gabe. The ability for Tua to lead this Miami Dolphins team against a quality opponent. We've seen them put up Star Wars numbers. We've seen them put up 70 last year against the Denver Broncos. Well, you can beat up on a underperforming or poorly constructed foe, but can you do it against a good team that everyone expects to be in the playoffs like the Buffalo Bills? Tua, you get your shot to prove it tonight. Next.
Number two.
Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is thought of, or has been thought of, as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He was able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs and the all-timer in Patrick Mahomes, take the Bengals to a Super Bowl, and things have been a bit underwhelming since then. So if Joe Burrow, if you want to continue to be mentioned in that conversation, if you want to be in tier one or tier two of the NFL quarterbacks, you've got to get past what you put on the field last year and what you put on the field here in week one. Get past the injuries. Show me you can be a consistently available, high-performing quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Next.
Number one.
All right, number one, it may be a bit unfair to pile on this guy, but Deshaun Watson, man, that contract, another accusation of sexual misconduct here, plus the 20 people in the last lawsuit, things are stacking up against Deshaun Watson. Here in Denver, where I live, we thought the Russell Wilson contract was the worst contract of all time. Hey, the folks in Cleveland are putting their hands up and saying, no, we got a guy who's got the worst contract of all time. The only fully guaranteed contract in NFL history, I believe. Deshaun Watson has got to prove to the entire world, not just Cleveland, that he is even close to being worth the money he was guaranteed by the Cleveland Browns.
So your list again, Chad Brown's quarterbacks that have something to show us in week two. Number five, you had Baker Mayfield. Four was Justin Fields. Three, Tua Tagovailoa. Two, Joe Burrow. Number one, Deshaun Watson. I find it interesting. I did not think that Baker would be on this list, but I agree that he is. I mean, he had a spectacular game last week, and I'm one of those people that kind of wrote off the Buccaneers. Just, Atlanta's going to win that division. One team's got to come out of it. It's going to be the Falcons. But as good as the Buccaneers looked last week, they certainly got my attention. So for him to follow that up, especially against a team as good as Detroit, I think would be huge for him. I'm surprised Deshaun Watson is number one, because I don't think Deshaun Watson has anything to show us. Like, we haven't seen Deshaun Watson be good since he got traded to the Cleveland Browns. I understand he hasn't played a lot of football. I mean, again, because of his own actions that led to a suspension and because of an injury last year. I just don't think that the Deshaun Watson that we saw in Houston be one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL, I don't think that guy's in there anymore.
It's a tricky one. I the reason why I put him number one on the list, because he has a chance to change the focus a bit. He doesn't have to be great this week. If he's just good this week, then the conversation changes. He's going in the right direction. He's able to focus in the midst of personal trying times, all that kind of stuff. The focus and the narrative switches so much if he's able just to be good. Not great, just good this week. So the opportunity for him to change the conversation in ways that unfortunately are starting to pile up on him, I think is significant this week, because after this, I think all of Cleveland is going to lose complete patience and there won't be any rope for him to tug on and go in a different direction.
It seemed like every Browns fan that I saw on social media was going, hey, but look at what Baker did, and this is what we're stuck with Deshaun Watson. So it's also interesting that they are number one and number five on your list. Worth noting in terms of omissions from Chad Brown's quarterbacks that have something to show us in week two, Aaron Rodgers not on that list, despite his struggles. He had some good moments, certainly, but struggled, I would say, overall in his first week against the 49ers. Why was Aaron Rodgers left off your list?
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is not going to be able to recapture some of his previous form. I think it's just going to take some time coming off the injury and have not played a lot of football. But I'm quite confident Aaron Rodgers will see Aaron Rodgers football from Aaron Rodgers this year. Maybe not his best season ever, not another MVP season, but we will see Aaron Rodgers show up. I don't have a lot of doubts about that. So that was an easy one for me to leave off the list, because I'm confident in his ability to, again, be one of the better, if not a top five quarterback in the league, once things get up to speed for him.
What about Devin Cain and Shannon Penn's guy, Daniel Jones? There's just nothing to prove? This is just who Daniel Jones is?
Well, when we had Freddie on earlier, Freddie gave you a hard time for trying to insert Malik Willis onto this list. I feel like it was unfair, as Freddie pointed out, for Malik Willis. And it's a bit unfair to expect Daniel Jones to find a layer to his game that's never been there. The Giants are just in a bad situation. They chose this quarterback to give this contract to. They chose to support this quarterback financially rather than Saquon Barkley. They've put themselves in this situation, and they will suffer the consequences for this, because Daniel Jones, there's not another layer to the onion. There's not another layer to Brian Daboll's playbook that is going to unlock Daniel Jones in some way we haven't seen before. Things are going to be the same.
Tua's on this list in part because, well, not only did the Dolphins struggle against very good teams and teams above 500 a year ago, but, I mean, he got a big contract this offseason. Another guy who got a big contract and did not have a good second half of the year was Trevor Lawrence. Did not have a good week one, certainly had their opportunities against Miami, and Tua did not close out the game the way they thought. Do you think Trevor Lawrence is more the guy we saw in the second half 2 years ago? Or, and the guy that, you know, led the Jaguars to a playoff appearance, a playoff win? Or is he more like the guy we saw last year who kind of fell apart down the stretch and the Jaguars fumbled away a playoff berth?
I'm leaning towards the guy we saw in the second half where things got off track for him. Again, the NFL is a cruel league because you may have an early window where you achieve some success. But these coordinators, they spend time, they study you, they figure you out, and once they have you figured out, they will force you to do the things that you don't do well and take away the things that you do well. And then you've got to find and grow another layer to your game. Not everybody is capable of that. A lot of people come in and are able to make a splash and have some initial success. But the long-term success comes from you evolving your game as people come up with other ways to stop you. And Trevor Lawrence has yet to evolve his game. And at this point, I don't think there's a defensive coordinator going into a Jaguars game going, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to stop this kid? They all feel pretty confident in their game plan and their ability to deal with him.
And when you take a look at your list, again, Chad Brown's quarterbacks that have something to show us in week two. One was Deshaun Watson, two Joe Burrow, three Tua, four Justin Fields, five Baker Mayfield. I mean, Fields is potentially playing for a job if he wins this week. Are they actually going to bench them? If he's 2-0, Tua trying to prove, yes, the Dolphins are here. Joe Burrow trying to prove that he is the guy that took the Bengals to a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. I think this is a really important week, and I'm actually surprised this guy did not make your list. I think this is a huge week for Kirk Cousins for a number of reasons. A, to prove that he's still a very good player in this league, but maybe more importantly, to prove that he can move around and he's, that he's healthy. When you have a top 10 pick sitting behind you, and I understand that the plan originally for the Falcons was, hey, Michael Penix, we're going to put you on that Jordan Love plan. Sit for a couple of years, learn from a veteran who's been in this league for a long time. But they've got higher aspirations this year because of the young talent and the young roster that they have, especially offensively around Kirk. If he looks the way he did this last week against Pittsburgh, and it doesn't look like he's moving that well, I wonder how quickly they decide to go to Michael Penix Jr.
I think it'll be pretty quick here. And my list was basically made up of folks who I think have the capability of showing me something. I omitted the rookie quarterbacks because they're still going to go through their rookie first couple of games here. Mm-hmm. We can talk about them a couple weeks down the road. I didn't put Malik Willis on here because, again, what are you going to show me? If you get 150 yards, that'd be more passing yards than you've ever had before. But that's not really show. I mean, the guys I have on this list have the opportunity to prove something to me. And then when you go to Kirk Cousins, what is a week going to do compared – if we saw you being not able to move 1 week ago and now 7 days later you're suddenly going to be moving around freely and comfortably, I don't think you can do that. So I don't think there's even much of an opportunity for him to show me something based on the way he moved last week.
Falcons head coach Raheem Morris, during a press conference this week, answered the question, how did Kirk respond after the loss?
There's not going to be a big change in Kirk's process, right? Because, like, he's been doing it for so long. He has a way he wants to do things, right? We did not have a good game. He did not have a good game. We were very clear about that. There was no sugarcoating it. And I think that's what men do, right? He steps up to the challenge. He accepts it like we all do, right? My fault that I played in that, the fault that Zach played in, the fault that he played in, the fault that people around him played in it. There was no blame game. And I just know what he's going to go do today, right? He's going to bring the urgency. He's going to bring everything he has to do in order to play better, to find a way to get that thing to the results that we want. And I got all the confidence in the world in him because of who he is.
They're going to have a rough start to their season because while they traveled to a Philadelphia team that put up over 400 yards and 34 points on Friday, last Friday against the Green Bay Packers, on Monday night as the Falcons will travel to the Eagles. When you play 15 years in the NFL like our guy Chad Brown, you know talent. We Know Talent, brought to you by Robert Half. 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Boise State among four schools making the Pac-2 into a six-pack for the 2026-2027 season. We dive into that coming up next. It's Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
This is a PSA, or public sock announcement. Experts have declared Bombas socks as the best way to warm up chilly feet. These pairs are super cushy, soft, and designed for maximum coziness. Plus, for every pair purchased, another pair will be donated, so someone in need of essential clothing can stay warm this winter. Go to bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNpod and use code ESPNpod.
In the world of football, one name stands above the rest. Nick Saban, a legend known for building dynasties on the gridiron. And in the world of interior paint, Bear Dynasty is a legend in its own right. It's the best of Bear, with everything you want in a paint, all in one can. And it's available exclusively at the Home Depot. Just like Nick Saban's powerhouse defense, Bear Dynasty defends your walls with unmatched stain repellency and scuff resistance. And with one coat coverage, you'll be able to complete your painting project and bask in your team's colors before kickoff. Defend your walls and your game time with Bear Dynasty interior paint at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior One Coat Hide Color Collection.
Want to shop Walmart Black Friday deals first? Walmart Plus members get early access to our hottest deals. Join now and get 50% off a one-year annual membership. Shop Black Friday deals first with Walmart Plus. See terms at walmartplus.com.
Along with Chad Brown, I'm Gabe Neitzel, filling in for the boys today on Freddie and Harry, ESPN Radio, ESPN App, Sirius XM Channel 80. We've touched on a lot of different topics, a lot of different subjects throughout the course of the day, Chad, but there are a few we haven't gotten to. Let's get to some in other news.
They may not be the top stories of the day.
In other news.
But you need to be in the know. This is In Other News.
We start with the Pac-12, I guess, although with their announcement today, they're only halfway to that number, because Boise State is among four schools joining the Pac-12 for the 2026-2027 academic and sports calendar. Boise State, Colorado State, San Diego State, Fresno State, all joining Oregon State and Washington State. So I don't know if you have to have state in your name to join, you know, the new Pac-12 or not, but those Mountain West schools are leaving. Look, I understand wanting to keep alive the Pac-12 to a certain extent, but just because you add these schools doesn't mean you're going to be a power conference. You're just taking schools from a mid-major or a non-power five, if we're talking football. You're not going to be a power conference anymore. It's unfortunate, I think, Chad, what happened to the Pac-12, but at the end of the day, there's no resurrecting this conference.
From a football fan perspective, let me see what this does. It takes the Mountain West, which was the fifth best conference in the country, and now once these teams fully add on and they get up to the eight teams needed to be recognized by the NCAA as a conference, it will turn the Pac-12 into the fifth best conference. So all we've done is change a couple of acronyms there, and we haven't done anything really. So I'm not even sure what the point of this is. I know there's leftover Pac-12 money that the teams that left the Pac-12 had to give to the conference. Mm-hmm. So I guess the Mountain West will give up those teams in turn to get that money, and then they'll go out and try to get other teams to flesh out the rest of the Mountain West. This conference realignment thing it's driven by money and dollars, and this is another decision driven by money and dollars, but it doesn't change the football landscape for either conference. They're not going to get an automatic bid into the playoff. They're not going to be respected enough to get that opportunity. So, yeah, we're shuffling some dollars around. We're moving some teams around. But we haven't accomplished a whole lot here.
Yeah, and apparently part of the reason they wanted those four to be involved because they want those four to be a part of the decision-making process of other teams that are going to be invited to join the Pac-12 again. This isn't happening, though, until the 2026-2027 season. Before we get to our next story, do want to let you know that Dolphins running back Devon Achane is active for tonight's game against the Bills. He had been listed as questionable, so that is good news for the running game of the Miami Dolphins, Chad, that they have one of their running backs available to them tonight.
Again, I think this Dolphin system can go with a lot of different running backs. Any coach off the Shanahan tree has proven that the scheme is more important than the guy toting the football, but having Achane back certainly gives them a leg up tonight.
Meanwhile, Asia Wilson has broken the WNBA single-season scoring record in the Aces' win over the Fever last night. Had a pull-up jumper just before the end of the first half. And after she scored the 27 points at the end of the game, she passed Jewel Lloyd's record of 939 points. She now sits at 956, putting her just 44 points away from becoming the first WNBA player to score 1,000 in a single season. And the Aces, Chad, have four games left on the schedule. Seems like this is a record that, again, she is going to run away with, as she already has it, now has the opportunity to go up and over 1,000 points.
Yeah, I think she will run away and get over that 1,000-point mark. And for a season that's been dominated by Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, as far as the headlines go, Asia Wilson's amazing season outside of WNBA fans has lost to the general public, and that's a shame. But, you know, hopefully as our fandom grows and coverage grows for the WNBA, the folks who create the headlines are truly the greatest players in the game, like Asia Wilson is, and not just somebody who we think is going to get the most clicks.
Yeah, Asia Wilson, runaway MVP in the WNBA. Again, she's going to go over 1,000 points this year. And then finally, the Jacksonville Jaguars, with their home opener coming up this weekend, Chad, they have rebranded their stadium. It is now Trevor Bank Stadium. So the stadium name is Everbank. That is the sponsor of the stadium. But because, of course, Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback, they decided to put the TR in front. So Trevor Bank Stadium. Lawrence said, "I don't like having too much of the spotlight with stuff like that, but I do think it was clever. They have the naming rights for the stadium, so it's a good play on words, and I was fine with it."
I would not want my name on the stadium. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for a guy who's already under pressure. And we talked about him as possibly being one of those quarterbacks with something to prove here in week two. I think you turned that one down. This one feels very cover Sports Illustrated jinxy. It's kind of one of those things. The cover of Madden or college football. There's always that jinx that goes along with that. I say Trevor Lawrence, yeah, don't buy into that, my friend.
Before we get out of here, Chad, who wins tonight? Bills, Dolphins, Thursday Night Football.
Josh Allen puts together an MVP-level performance. The Bills get a close win in this one. Miami proves their game. They're in it. They just don't know how to get over the hump against a truly winning opponent.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I am high on the Bills. I am high on Josh Allen, despite him having that little bit of a left-hand injury that he suffered after his fourth touchdown that he accounted for last week against the Cardinals. I think he has that superhuman effort. I think he has that superhuman effort all season long. The Dolphins, again, good team, but they're going to be sitting there at 1-1, kind of asking some of the same questions that they had to ask themselves a year ago. Coming up next, Amber and Ian. This has been Freddie and Harry with Gabe Neitzel, Chad Brown on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.